Thank you for joining us today at church. For those in the room and those online, as Pastor Josh already said, it's a big deal that you would get to church on this day. And I just believe in this month, as we go deeper in Him, that He's going to take us beyond the surface. That's what it means to go deeper. A simple definition for the series that we're in, Deepen, is to say, hey, I'm not going to just stay at the shallow end, not just enough to dip my toes in. I'm going to go get in. I'm going to go deeper. And that's what we've been looking at. And last week we kicked off this series as well as 21 days of prayer and fasting. And during these 21 days, we're on day 7 today. Come on. If you've made it 7 days, I just want to say keep going. Honor you. And you got 14 left. And if you're not joining us for 21 days of prayer and fasting, the invitation is still there. Start today. Jump in. Hey, how about you do 14 days of prayer and fasting? And every day we're kicking off a prayer point. And every day we have a specific thing that we're believing God for. Mark chapter 11, verse 24 speaks to this principle. It says, therefore I tell you, Jesus speaking, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Yeah. I've been looking at this verse every day since we started this series, because I want to continue to coach and shepherd my own heart to make sure that I believe what I believe. Yes. Amen. That Jesus invites us to prayer, to asking, to receiving, to believing. And there's something powerful that we want to take Him at His word. So for these 21 days, we're believing for specific things. And today's prayer point is, I would imagine, maybe not the most popular out of all of them, but I believe maybe the most healthy out of all of them for us to really try to lean into. Amen? If you haven't seen it on the app or got a message yet, I'm going to go ahead and tell you what it is here today. And my prayer is that we would all lean in for this sermon and that we would think through how to apply this message in our own lives and how it would speak to us. The title of my message today is Going Deeper in Holiness. Going Deeper in Holiness. I believe in order for you to have the best year spiritually and a whole lot of other things as well in 2024, it's going to need to be your best year in holiness. In pursuing what the Bible calls holiness. Let me go ahead and define the word holy, and I'll just give two brief definitions here. One's from the Oxford definition. Dedicated or consecrated to God. Set apart. Something that's holy is set apart. It's in its own category. It's in its own class. It's a one of one. It ranks by itself. And I want to tell you today that what we were just singing is accurate. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none besides you, right? And we're praying. Open up our eyes to that reality of God's holiness. The call to deeper holiness is a call for everybody here in the room. And I'm not talking about a call to just religious activity. I'm not talking about report card Christianity. We're trying to check boxes and get grades. Praise God, that's handled in Christ. But let's not pendulum swing the calling that's all on our lives to holiness. Now, there's a verse that has become our prayer point focus for today. It's out of 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 14 and 15. Let's look at these verses together. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. It says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. That's a verse right there, amen? Jeez. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. And I like that idea of all your conduct there, because you may be tempted to think, hey, you know what? I don't really need to go deeper this year. I went deep enough in 23. If that's your mentality, then you're limiting your own growth. Come on, open that lid back up and go deeper. Because in all of your conduct, maybe you have some maturity and some deepening in certain areas, but maybe there's other conduct areas that still need some maturing, amen? That you could still go deeper in. Maybe you just scratched the surface in your prayer life, or just scratched the surface in your worship, or you're just very shallow on the beginning end of scripture reading, or maybe it's in community or whatever. There's something that needs to get more deep, amen? He says, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Yes. Now, where is that written? Well, we should draw a line right there. We should make a little bookmark, and then we should take that all the way back to the Old Testament, the OT, into Leviticus chapter 14. Come on, let's go to Leviticus. Let's hang out in there for a second. In chapter 11, we find Moses giving the Levitical law, and in there he writes, for I am the Lord your God, God speaking through his pen, consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy. Why? For I am holy. Our holy God, who has created us in his image and likeness, now calls us to follow his model, follow his leadership, which is very much holy. He says, you should be holy, for I am holy. It's a calling on all of our lives. And even in 1 Thessalonians, you'll find that Paul is writing to the Thessalonians, and he's saying, you shall be holy. For he's not called us to impurity. He's called us to holiness. So why should we go deeper in holiness? Well, it's a calling. Yes. I mean, answer the phone. Find God on the other side of that call. And he says, I'm calling you to holiness. Yes. Yes. And I just want to tell you today, that's a good thing. Yes, he's calling you to be set apart. He's not calling you necessarily to be weird. And he's definitely not calling you to be rude. Right. But he is calling you to be holy. Amen. And I think that creates a bit of a tension for everybody in the room. And I want to put this reality statement up as to why I think it creates a bit of a tension. And that's because positionally right now, for those who are in Jesus, right now you are holy. The good news of the gospel is that through your faith in King Jesus, his holiness has been transferred to your account. And right now you are seated positionally with the Father in the holy places and are seen as holy, right this moment, amen? Yes. Praise God for that good news. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus has positioned us as a little Christ. When we have put our faith in him, we are now clothed and covered by him and his grace. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writes to the Ephesians. And in the intro of that letter, he says, before the foundations of the world, this was God's calling. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, Walk Church, in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be, say it with me, holy and blameless before him. So before you were born, in fact, before the world was born, God had a plan and a purpose for your life. And part of that plan and purpose is that you should be holy and blameless before him. And this is part of the tension, because positionally at this moment, for those who are in Jesus, we are holy. How does that happen? Let me just give you a reminder of how that happens. First off, we are born into this world unholy because of our sinful condition, because of our great, 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 great ancestors, Adam and Eve, who introduced sin into the world. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, and because of that, we have sinned. We have missed God's mark, and the wages of sin is death. So everybody in this room and everybody on planet Earth right now is on its way to an eternity apart from God because of our sin has removed us from his presence. And yet, with that reality, as stark and startling and terrible as that is, Jesus says, not on my watch. Jesus says, I don't want people to have to spend eternity in hell for their sins. I want people to be saved from their sins by the Savior himself. And so what does he do? He comes down from heaven. He's born of a virgin in the likeness of man, right? In the likeness of sinful man. Though he never sinned, though Jesus never sinned, tempted in all ways, but never gave in. He lives the sinless, perfect, holy life that we're called to live. And because of that, he doesn't get rewarded on this earth. In fact, he gets put on the cross where he dies a brutal sinner's death. And his blood is shed and the crown of thorns is on his head. And he gets whipped with this lash 39 times and he gets stabbed in his side. And he pays for all of our sins. And he gets buried. Come on, right? He gets buried into this grave in Jerusalem. He's put in this tomb. There, it's there, and there's a big stone over it. Now, if he stays in that tomb, let me just tell you, we are the most to be pitied, the Bible says. In fact, let's just pack up and let's go do something different. Our prayers are stopping at the ceiling. We're praying to a dead person. But can I just tell you, that's not how the story goes. Jesus, in his sovereignty, authority, and bigness, in his divinity, rises from the grave, removes the stone, folds his clothes, and is alive and active. And he declares it with authority that every sinner who puts their faith in him as the Lord and the Savior of them, that they shall be forgiven, they shall be counted as righteous, and they shall be declared as holy. And then he promises to accompany that reality with the Holy Spirit to make sure that it all happens. He seals us for the day of eternity. So I share all that, one, to encourage you that today, if you know Jesus, you are holy. You are. Positionally, you are with Christ, and you are considered holy. And that is good news. And yet, the tension is, you open your eyes and you go, I don't feel holy. You then look in the mirror, and then you go, I know that God says you're holy, but I'm struggling. All of us here in the room are fellow strugglers with something, right? And if you say, no, not me, then let us just watch your life on a reality TV show for a full week, just 24/7, camera on you, and we'll see how holy you are, all right? We'll see if you have attention at least, attention. We live in the tension of the right now, but not yet. I know I'm holy. I know my identity is holy, but while I'm here on earth, while I'm trapped in this unholy body, right, that we're all in, as the Bible says, it's decaying. We're positionally holy, but we're practically not. And so what should we do? What should we do? We should pursue holiness. We should pursue the thing that we already are. I came across this verse that spoke to me out of the book of Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, well, I found this text that helped me just grasp an even more strong desire to pursue holiness. Verse 14, strive for peace with everyone. That's hard, amen. And for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. This verse teaches us that apart from holiness, we won't see God. And in 2024, I want to see God like I've never seen him before. I want to see him move in power. Look at the NIV translation. Let me show you the NIV translation. It says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Remember the definition, right? Holy is to be set apart, to be devoted and dedicated to God, to be holy in your conduct, right? Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And maybe you might be the walking Bible that somebody needs to see the Lord through you. And because you're pursuing holiness, because your Father is holy, people might see the Lord through your life. That we should make every effort. Come on, make every effort. That's a deeper verse. Yes, it is. We're going deeper in 2024. Deeper in what? We're going deeper in holiness. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to go ahead and just share a few reasons. Maybe you have like the ROI mentality. If you're like, maybe you're thinking, all right, Pastor Hyden, if I invest in holiness, what do I get in return? And can I just tell you, you get some good stuff. I'm going to give you three things that follow investing in holiness. The first one is this. As you go deeper in holiness, you're going to increase in the area of worship. Just stay with me really quick. Going deeper in holiness will increase your worship. Your worship won't stay at the same place. Your times of worshiping the Lord will actually go deeper. And I'm not here to judge where people are at on their levels of worshiping the Lord. That's not what my agenda is by any means. I want to preach the word, and I want to also let you know that the more you grow in holiness, your worship is going to go up. In fact, your worship is going to be more powerful. Your worship's the last thing that I want for you is to, one, do Christian karaoke. Yeah. Where you come up in here and you just sing lyrics that are flashing on a screen. You know what's even worse than that? Is just watching people do that. The purpose of the singing is to sing to the Holy One. The purpose of the singing is to sing to the Lord. The purpose of those who feel led to lift their hands is because they're showing a sign of surrender, a sign of worship, a posture of I'm letting go, a posture of I came to give it all to you, Lord. And so that's not for show or not for performance. You may get on your knees. You may feel led to jump a little bit. You know, you may just feel led to be freer in your worship if you grow deeper in your holiness. There's a moment. Come on, amen. And I just want to continue to encourage you that we have a culture in here that's not bound by heavy religion. Believe that Jesus took care of that at the cross. And he calls us in our pursuit of holiness to worship him as such. And to be upward and to be focused on him. There's this moment in the book of Isaiah that has really moved me. Recently, in fact, I was talking with my brother Richard at the prayer night on Wednesday night about this exact passage. It's in Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah gets this vision of something that's happening in eternity. Let's look at it here on the screen. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, he says, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Now, seraphim are massive angels, okay? The seraphim each had six wings. With two, he covered his face. And with two, he covered his feet. And with the other two, he flew. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And so the one seraphim angel with all six wings looks at the other seraphim angel and says, yo, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And you know what the other angel says back? The same thing, right back to him. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. Are you there? Can you visualize it? And Isaiah says, and I said, whoa! That's how I read it. It's probably, whoa, woe is me, for I am lost. I wonder if Isaiah was like, I think I'm in the wrong place. I think I got off on the wrong floor. I'm lost. For I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to him. Says, flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. Amen? What a powerful moment. This verse right here, this passage, these six verses are really a shadow of what Jesus would do for us. how Jesus would ultimately come to atone for our sins and take away our guilt through his death and through his resurrection and through his blood. And Isaiah is getting a glimpse into eternity on how even people of unclean lips can get access to a holy God by faith, right? And what happens here, I think, is so important that I don't want us to miss is that there's worship going on in eternity right this moment. And it's not seraphim angels saying, "Holy is the Lord." It's not that. And it's not, "Holy, holy is the Lord." It's not that. No, what is it? It's, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The earth is filled with his glory," right? All three holy moments come together for completion. God is the ultimate personification of holy. He, in all of his own goodness, is holy. And so when we come to worship him, we don't come to worship him with too much casualness. Imagine this scene for a moment. Amen. There's an essence of holiness that would maybe be added and attributed to your worship of him that would maybe even make you want to sing a little louder, or maybe want to maybe not even sing but just be in his presence for a moment and consider the moment of what you're doing. Friend, I would encourage you, don't come late. Don't say, "Let me just skip the music." Because something unlocks that happens in worship. Sometimes you gotta worship your way through problems. You gotta worship through storms. You gotta worship through struggles. You gotta approach your trial and say, "You know what? I know that you're real. I know that you exist. I'm not gonna stop worshiping. I'm gonna worship louder through it. I'm gonna lean in and I'm gonna go to a holy God who's gonna meet me in my worship." Come on, amen. Amen. Pursuing holiness, my prayer would just, it would take your worship up. Up to a new level. That's what happened with Isaiah. He recognized, this is something deeper going on. And if you took the thread of Isaiah chapter 6 and took it all the way up to the book of Revelation chapter 4, you would find John the apostle get his own vision into eternity. And guess what? The seraphim are still singing. And they're not getting tired of declaring God's holiness. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Amen. And so I believe pursuing holiness is going to increase your worship, and you'll be glad you did. The times of singing and the times of music and the times of worship would be sweeter in your life. Amen. Let me give you the second point. By pursuing a deeper level of holiness, it's not just going to increase your worship, it's going to increase your walk in the Spirit. Right? All of us are called to walk by the Spirit. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 with me. Paul, writing to the Galatians, he's trying to help them get a grasp in Spirit-led living. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Because maybe you're thinking kind of like me right now. You're like, "I'm grateful for this sermon, but the flesh is weak. But the Spirit is willing." Right? The Spirit, like Jesus, is there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's with his disciples. And Jesus knows he's about to go to the cross. And he's praying fervently. And he looks back at the disciples and they're sleeping. Jesus, I love how he goes and wakes them up. "Hey, get up," right? Come on. And what does he say? "The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Hey, they fell asleep on him two more times, all right? Hey, it was tough. It was a long day, okay? And Jesus says, "Hey, not my will, but yours be done, Father." And he goes and finishes the mission. But I want to go ahead and show this. We're called to walk by the Spirit who's willing. But can I just tell you, he's not just called the Spirit. What's he called? The Holy Spirit. Do not get confused that the Holy Spirit is the earthly spirit, or the universe spirit, or the worldly spirit. And he's definitely not a sinful spirit. His name is the Holy Spirit. Let me just tell you something. The Holy Spirit be holying. He does what he does. In the sports or in the education world, I would hear this often. Maybe you've heard this before as well. You shouldn't get concerned or worried as much when the coach or the teacher is getting on you. You should be more concerned when he or she is not, right? You should be more worried if the coach stops telling you what you need to be doing or stops correcting areas that you could have done better on, right? Can I just tell you, the Holy Spirit's job is to make you more holy? As you walk by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is committed to your holiness more than you are to your own holiness. And so the Holy Spirit is on your head for a reason. And the Holy Spirit won't let you sleep for a reason. And the Holy Spirit will say, don't sip that for a reason. And the Holy Spirit will come up and say, don't smoke that for a reason. And the Holy Spirit will say, hey, wait, I'm watching this too. Don't watch that for a reason. Right? And the Holy Spirit loves you enough to make you more holy. That's what he does. So God the Father in his holiness is being worshipped as holy, holy, holy. And God the Son is bringing his holiness down to earth. And he's paying for our sins. And he's transferring holiness to us through faith in him. And the Holy Spirit then jumps in the game too. And he's making us holy in his pursuit of us. So that's why the Bible says, don't quench the Spirit. Don't numb the voice of the Spirit. I pray 2024 would be your year to go deeper in the Spirit. That you wouldn't have a casual relationship with sin because the Holy Spirit doesn't. Come on, right? I read this verse, quote from the philosopher and theologian C.S. Lewis. He says, the holier a man becomes, the more he mourns over the unholiness which remains in him. Want to go deeper in 24? Continue to repent of the unholiness that's still trying to hang on. Right? Repentance is a gift. Come on, right? Let go of some of those things that don't need to follow you into tomorrow. Right? Lay them down at the altar. Let them go. Right? The more holy you become, the more aware you become of your unholiness. And God is continuing to grow you. He's continuing to show you. He's continuing to love you in his goodness. I think it's important to remember that the verse in 1 Peter and in Leviticus says this, that you should be holy. Why? Well, because the Lord is holy. Listen to me. You're not being compared to what other Christians' standard of holy is. God is not saying, hey, you should be holy like. Right. He's saying, be holy like me. Right. Yes. The standard of holiness that he calls us to walk in is his standard. That's why we have his Spirit. Yes. I was reading this quote from a pastor named Jerry Bridges, who he writes a lot about holiness and grace. And he says it like this. He says, many Christians have what we might call a cultural holiness. They adapt to the character and behavior patterns of Christians around them. But God has not called us to be like those around us. He's called us to be like himself. Holiness is nothing less than conformity to the character of God. Come on, amen. What is real holiness? It's us being conformed to the likeness and image of God himself. And I want to encourage you, Walk Church, to go deeper, right? The word deeper means I'm not staying in the shallow part. Deeper means that you go to places that maybe you've never been to before. You go to parts that you've never swam in before. And you grow deeper in this case in holiness. One of the ways for you to have your best season of holiness this year is to be closer to Jesus than you've ever been. You ever heard this phrase before? You become who you hang around. You are the company you keep, right? I think there's a lot of principle to that. And if that's the case, then you should hang around Jesus. You should hang around Christ, because the more you get closer to Christ, the more you get closer to holiness. The more you open up the, what's this called? The Holy Bible, right? The more you open up these words, they're not just random words. Come on, these are His words, right? That's why this the Bible is known as living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. And so as you pursue God and His word, you pursue holiness. And I think it's a good invitation if you're going to grow in holiness this year, then you got to grow in the word. Joel Beek, he writes on this topic. He says, "Do not expect to grow in holiness if you spend little time alone with God and do not take His word seriously. If you want to grow deeper, you got to get a more serious view of the word. If you want to grow deeper, you got to get a more personal time commitment with Christ." And can I just tell you, He's invested in you. His yes is on the table. Adrian Rogers, the great Baptist preacher, once said, "Holiness is not the way to Christ. Christ is the way to holiness." Amen? Right? So as we get closer to Christ, we get closer to holiness. So don't just leave it to chance. Man, I hope that I get a little closer today. No, plan for it. Prioritize for it. I just believe we do what we want to do when it really comes down to it. That's why we need prayer and fasting, right? Because we won't. I don't think I'm just going to just do a fast of specific things for 21 days just because. No, I want to get closer to Christ. We're praying and fasting for certain things and believing God for certain things, and I believe it's really good. It's really a good thing. Let me move into the last and final point. The first one, as we grow in holiness, right, we grow in our worship. As we grow deeper in holiness, we grow in our relationship with the Spirit of God, walking by the Spirit of God. And finally, I think this might be maybe my favorite point out of all three really good ones I think are helpful is this. By growing deeper in holiness, you'll increase in happiness. Amen? Woo! So important that you catch this, because your mind will play tricks on you. The devil and the demonic forces will play tricks on you and somehow try to get you to think, if you really take this sermon serious, your life is going to get more boring, or your life is going to grow unhappier, or you'll lose your joy, or you won't be allowed to have fun, right? Can I just tell you, God created fun. Are you saying that God's not fun? I read the Gospels and I watch Jesus and I feel like He's always having fun. Yeah. Right? I think the most wild adventure that the disciples ever got was when they got a chance to follow Christ. Right. I don't find a single day that was boring. Right. It was way active. Come on, right? And so I'm just saying, the more you pursue holiness, the more you're going to increase in happiness. Yes, that's true. And I think the word joy is a better word than happiness personally, but I don't want to dismiss happiness, because that's a good word too. Happiness is dependent on what's happening. And so if you're pursuing holiness, that's what's happening. And that's what's going to lead to happiness. And it's two H's. A J word wouldn't have sounded as cool, right? Holiness leads to happiness. I really believe that's true. The more that you throw off sin, the better you're going to feel. The more you stop giving in to the things that are actually destroying and hurting your walk and your life and your spirit, I almost changed the word to healthy. Going deeper in holiness will increase your health, will increase your happiness, will increase your joy. This might be a two-parter, right? Go deeper in holiness is going to, it's actually going to increase your life, not decrease your life. You're going to feel better. You're going to feel stronger. I don't know any legit believer in Jesus that ever gave into sin and felt way better. Maybe there was a temporary flesh fulfillment in some capacity, but then you end up feeling worse. Or maybe it's even the conviction of the Holy Spirit who comes alongside moments like that. And He wants, you know, you don't be miserable in your Christianity. Be happy in your Christianity. Come on, amen? God wants to take us there. C.S. Lewis says it like this. He says, "How little people know who think that holiness is dull. When one meets the real thing, it's irresistible. Amen. Lewis, who was once a described atheist for a lot of his life, once he tasted that the Lord is good. Yes. And it was in his reading of the Bible that he began to realize the words were true. Yeah. Right. C.S. Lewis said, I gave in and I agreed that God was God. And he says, man, how little people know that holiness is, they think it's dull. He says, it's irresistible.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And we have to change our thinking. We have to flip the script. We have to say, you know what? Actually, holiness is a contagious, good thing that gets me excited. It makes me feel even better. I want to grow. I want to grow in holiness.
Amen.
I want to kill sin before it kills me.
Amen.
Come on, right? I don't want to give sin another opportunity to steal my joy. Charles Spurgeon, one more quote. You know, Spurgeon, he writes on this topic. He says, to be free from the power of sin, to be made to love holiness, true happiness. Amen? And that's true Christianity. Brothers and sisters, hear me, look at me, listen to me. True Christianity is not you working to climb up the ladder to try hard and maybe God will see you. That is not Christianity. Christianity is Jesus saying, get off the ladder, I'm coming down. I'm coming to you. I'm coming down to you. And I'm going to show you how to do it. I'm going to show you how to live this thing. I'm going to show you how to talk. Why do you think Jesus all throughout the Gospels is saying, now I know you heard it was written, let me show you what I meant. I know that it was written, this is what I meant. Now let me show you how to do it. All the way to the cross and to the grave, to the ascension, Jesus is showing us what it looks like to live the Christian life. That's why true Christianity is not you living for Jesus. True Christianity is Jesus living through you.
Amen.
Come on, amen? That is what it means to follow Christ. It's not you working harder. It's not you trying to earn. It's not you getting tallies on a whiteboard. Come on, not check marks. The mark is already checked by Jesus. And so, again, what's the tension? Let me put up that reality statement as I close. What's the tension? The tension is this. Positionally, we're holy. But practically, we're not always. So this year, we're going to pursue our identity. We're going to go deeper in holiness. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your word today. Thank you, Lord, that you're here. Thank you, God, that you're with us. Thank you, God, that you're for us. And I just want to pray two prayers as we close. Two prayers. The first prayer is for anybody in the room that doesn't know Jesus as Savior. If you're here today and you haven't put your faith in Jesus yet, maybe you've subscribed to a different religion for a majority of your life. Maybe you've believed in a different God. Maybe you thought there were multiple ways to heaven, but you realized in this sermon there's only one way. It's through Christ, and it's through faith and total surrender to Him, and you're ready now to believe. You're ready to trade in what you knew for what is real, truth. You can do that right now by calling on the name of the Lord. Just right now, join me in this prayer. Just say, Lord, I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe that today through faith, I'm forgiven of all my past sins, all my present sins, and all my future sins. I believe I'm declared holy and righteous and a new creation. I receive you by faith. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Help me to live holy by your Spirit for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just stay with me for this moment, just for a second. Because I also want to pray for a group of people that maybe are here today that are believers in Jesus but are struggling. If you're here in the room and you just feel like, yeah, I believe it and I know that's who I am, but I'm struggling. I'm struggling with holiness. And I just need to go deeper. If that's you, would you just lift your hand? And not by yourself. I got my hand up. I see a lot of hands up all across the room. Jesus, I pray that you would just go lock arms with everybody who has their hand up right now. God, would you help them? Would you heal them? Would you bring supernatural power, provision, and strength in this time that only comes from you, God. God, give them everything they need to accomplish your calling of righteousness and holiness in their life. God, I pray that they would take it one step at a time and have victory one step at a time. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.